Father says, son, I'd like to start at 7 o'clock in the morning. If you possibly can get here, just like the other morning, whenever they called at 7 o'clock in the morning and said, Mr. Scrivener, we got 16 yards of concrete. You want it? I said, wow, it's only 15 minutes till 7. I'm not even up yet. I'm still in bed. And I said, yes, I'll take it. So I called my son. I said, Tim. He said, what's going on, Dad? I said, I need your help. I'm fixing to pour 16 yards of concrete. Can you help me? He said, well, I knew something was wrong. He said, when you call me, it's 15 minutes till 7 in the morning. You're never up at that time. He said, I'll be right there. Now, see, he showed up. And everybody I called showed right up. Nobody grumbled. Nobody complained. They just showed up. And we poured the concrete. We got 16 yards of free concrete to pour over there in the barn. And nobody grumbled and complained. Why did they not grumble and complain? They're sons. Every one of them are sons. If you have somebody that's not a son, that doesn't know how to experience sonship, then what they will do when you call them and say, you know, I've got something special going on this morning. I know you're supposed to come in at 9, but today I got to have you at 6. Oh, can't you find anybody else? I'm sick. I don't feel good. I don't want to come in at 6. But if they're truly dedicated to you and see themselves as a son, they say, sure, no problem. If you want me at 6, I'll be there. You see what I mean? Now, which way do you want to be? You want to be a son or you want to be a servant? I want to be a son because the dividends for being a son is out of this world. You don't get all the benefits being a servant. You may get a few of the benefits, but you won't get nothing like the son. Now, just think, that 12-year-old boy we talked about, can you imagine what he felt like when this man coming in this beautiful car said, just get in here in your dirty clothes and sit down. There's no problem. I want to adopt you. I want you to become my son so you can experience the good things in life. Can you imagine any 12-year-old boy that would turn him down? No. And it's going to be a little mind-boggling because what he's going to do, he's going to come down here, going to go to the law office, and he's going to sign all these papers, and the lawyer's going to say, now you're a son. You know, you're this man's son. Your name is changed and everything. Everything he has is yours. And so Dad takes him home and buys him all kinds of clothes and takes him and shows him this beautiful room he's got. In my father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Can you imagine what your home's going to be like in heaven? He's preparing a place for you right now. Every one of us, he's preparing a place for us, and he knows our hearts. He made us. He knows exactly the kind of furniture you want. Everything you can imagine, it's going to be beyond your wildest dreams. To me, that just touches my heart to think about a man that would take a kid off the street and adopt him and give him all of everything he's got. That's really a real man. You know that? That's a man that knows how to love. But that man is nothing compared to what God has done for you and me. I mean, the home he's prepared, everything, there's no comparison. And so many Christians never get a hold of this, that I'm a son. As long as you're a servant, you'll never be able to walk in the faith realm to see miracles and signs and wonders. Daddy don't do that for servants. He only does it for sons. Every time God's ever spoken to me besides one, he's always said, son. One time, he called my name Thurman. That's right after Cheryl and I got married. We were married and I was laying there asleep in the middle of the night, and Cheryl had been out getting her car ready, loading it up with equipment because her and her daughter was going to have to go to California or somewhere to sing at a great big hotel for some big organization. So she was late. So I'd been studying until 12:30 or 1 o'clock, I guess. And then I got tired, so I just went in and went to bed. I lay in there for a little while, and all of a sudden, I heard him say, Thurman. And Bennett woke me up instantly. When he said Thurman, I looked, and there was a video screen right in the middle of the night. And there was Cheryl driving down that road in her car. I'm watching her, and she pulls into a car wash and puts the money in the car wash and gets the wand and pulls the trigger and starts to wash the car, and two guys attacked her. And then the screen went dead. Wow. I reached over right quick. I grabbed my phone. I pushed a button. It says 1:56 a.m. I pushed her button, and instantly she answered. I said, honey, where are you? She said, I'm fixing to pull in here and wash my car. I said, not tonight, you're not. I said, the Lord just showed me in a vision or whatever it was that two men attacked you in that car wash. She said, my goodness, I was going to stop and get gas too. She said, I ain't doing nothing. I'm just coming home. Now, when you're a son, will God let your wife experience something harmful? No, because she's a daughter and he's our father and he knows everything. And we're both walking in obedience to his word. And so he's not going to let her get hurt. But he always shows the head what's going on. Every time this has happened in our life, he always comes through me for something for her. Every time. Because that's the order. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the sons, the daughters, and the children. And that's the way God works. So many people pray. First of all, they're not sons. They're not daughters. But they're praying and asking God to do something, and they never get an answer to prayer. I hear people say, God, would you do this? You know, one day I was doing the same thing. And this is a long time ago when I really hadn't learned to pray. And I said, God, I need you to do something. So, and I never forget what he said. He said, you said God. What God? I said, well, God, you. He said, my name is Jesus. My Heavenly Father's name is Jehovah. He said, if you want a prayer answered, you got to do it the right way. He said, when you say God, he said, the devil can answer that if he wants to because he's a god of this world. Boy, that gave me a revelation. I never prayed like that no more. I guarantee that stopped me from that day forth when I pray. It's Father in the name of Jesus. Yes, let's get down to, really get down to business here. I want to make sure that I pray Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't do that, there's no telling what kind of an answer you may get for your prayer. But God has an order, a way of doing things, and we have to do it His way. If you've ever experienced sonship, then you're going to understand as we start in Romans chapter 3, verse 1, and we're going to use the NLT all the way through this, and I want to show you some of these things. It says, then what's the advantage of being a Jew? Is there any value in the Jewish ceremony of circumcision? He says, yes, being a Jew has many advantages. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with a whole revelation of God. Now, I can't even imagine that, being entrusted with the entire revelation of God. Although we have it today and we can hold it in our hands, that's the revelation, but you can read that and study that all of your life. And if you're not a son, this will be the words you'll say when I say, do you read the Bible? Well, I've read it some. What do you think about it? I couldn't understand it. Have you ever heard people say that?
Yep.
Christian people say that?
Yep.
Why can't they understand it? Oh my goodness. They haven't experienced sonship, have they? The Holy Spirit is not there to translate it to them. Wow. The church is full of those kind of people. It just amazes me that people that I sat down with, and at first I didn't understand this at all. When I say, what, do you read the Bible? Oh yeah, I read it. Two or three times. Well, what'd you get out of it? It don't make sense to me. I can't understand it. So I just quit reading it. Okay. Used to, I didn't know what to do. Now I know what to do. You need to get saved. You need to come in and accept the free gift that Jesus gave you. You need to really accept that free gift and become a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Then you need to ask Him to fill you with that wonderful Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. So when you read the word, the Holy Spirit, He'll reach over when you read a word, He'll tap over your shoulder and say, did you see what I just wrote right there? God does that. Now then, if you've never had those experiences, maybe you're not a son. You know, I mean, if you've experienced sonship, your father, do you think your father wants you to understand his word? Of course he does. He doesn't want you out there not understanding nothing. He wants you to know what it's all about. So he will show you. Yes, being a Jew has many advantages. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with the whole revelation of God. Wow. And this is wonderful. This is a long time ago when all this happened. But you know, you and I have been entrusted with the whole revelation of God too. So if we have the whole Bible, if we pray and ask the Lord to come into our heart, be our Lord and Savior, and we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and then we ask Him, pray regularly, Lord, give me wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and revelation from Your Word. You know, so that I can understand your word. When you pray like that, what will he do? That's exactly what he will do. But see, he's a faith God. If you never ask for revelation and wisdom and knowledge, in other words, fathers usually don't come by, grab you by the neck and start beating you on the head and saying, if it kills me and kills you both, I'm going to make you learn how to do this.
No, they don't do that.
He don't do that, does he? A father, he'll gently teach his son, try to get him to understand because he loves him, right? Now then, sometimes you might have a servant that works for you that you have to do that to. At least if some of them work for you, you wanted to beat them, right? Because they're servants, they're not sons. When you really become a true son, it changes everything in your life. Verse 3 and 4.
True.
Some of them, the Jews, were unfaithful. But just because they broke their promise, does that mean God will break his promise? Not hardly. Of course not, he says. Though everyone else in the world is a liar, God is true. Aren't we glad of that? I mean, God makes us all these promises. And that's one of the things Dave and I was talking about. How in the world can God give us this wonderful book with all these wonderful promises and we don't obey him? In Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, he says, and then he told him, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. And anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Do you know, I read that as a Christian. And I guess I was a son at that time. I believe I was. But, you know, I was a disobedient son. I mean, you know, I can remember for at least 25 years as a Christian, if you'd asked me, how many people did you lead to Jesus last year? None. Well, what's wrong with you? Didn't you read where he said, go into all the world and preach the good news? Did you do that? Well, no, I go to church. I mean, I'm a deacon in the church. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I go to church, but you never led nobody to Jesus. But the king said, daddy said, to go tell them about me. Now, you want to know why the Muslims are taking over the world? Because we ain't telling them about Jesus. You know, if we prayed for them, if we literally prayed for them, and we were to tell them about Jesus, some of them would get saved. But you know, it doesn't have to be a Muslim. It can be your next door neighbor. And they may not be a Muslim yet. You know, I'm serious, because we've not done what God told us to do. We are experiencing the things today in the world. The church has not become real sons. We're not telling people about Jesus. We're not walking in obedience to his word. We're not winning people into the kingdom. We're not walking in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So therefore, the world is taking over. The United States of America wants to accept and enjoy the benefits of big homes and nice cars and all those things. But Jesus, throw him out. You know, don't you dare talk about Jesus. We don't want him on the news. You know, we don't want him in our schools. You can't pray. I think about one of the emails I got the other day when there was probably 500 Muslims in a street in New York City bowed down on their face praying. Nobody said a thing.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Son versus Servant Relationship, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.